invite you to remain standing as for the reading of our gospel this morning. It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 71. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What farther testimony do we need? You have heard it from ourselves, from his own lips." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. During this season of Lent, we have followed Jesus on his journey to Jerusalem. Way back at the beginning of Lent, we talked about how Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. That begins a time of journeying in the gospel, a journey that has included teaching and healing, a procession into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a Last Supper with his disciples, and Jesus' time in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to God in his eventual betrayal by Judas and arrest. This morning, we pick up the story very close to Jesus' death. We read the part of the scripture about the time of Jesus as a prisoner, when he's going to trial to be sentenced to be crucified. But before that happens, we have this scene of Peter denying Jesus three times. That's the part of the story we're going to focus on this morning. What does Peter denying Jesus tell us about Peter? And what does Peter denying Jesus tell us about us? And more importantly, what does Peter denying Jesus tell us about Jesus and about the whole reason that he set his face towards Jerusalem? So let's look at Peter's story here for a few minutes. Now, it's easy to kind of rag on Peter in this scripture about how he denies Jesus, but we're actually going to start by giving him some props. Because the first thing that Peter does in this story is to follow Jesus. After Judas's betrayal and Jesus's arrest in the garden, it seems like the rest of the disciples scatter. John is present in the Gospel of John, but here in Luke, Peter seems to be by himself. Peter is the only one who has followed Jesus this far, all the way to the high priest's home. Peter is there in the courtyard. While the rest have left, Peter has stayed. And following it takes a lot of courage because Peter has put himself in the risky situation following and being present with the people who have arrested Jesus. So there's that immediate risk, But there's also this more general risk in following. Because when you follow, you always put yourself at risk of failing. The other disciples, they aren't at risk of failing Jesus in this moment because they didn't even follow him there. But Peter is. In following, Peter risks that he might mess up. But first, he follows, even with the risk of failure. And of course, we know he fails, but I don't want us to miss that he first follows. Because Peter follows, but then he becomes full of fear. Now, fear is powerful. And Peter, he has a lot to be afraid of in this moment. He is alone. He is surrounded by people who hate his friend. Here he is, the fisherman from Galilee, in the high priest's courtyard. He doesn't belong there. And then, already on edge, somebody around the fire realizes that, indeed, Peter doesn't belong here. He isn't one of them. He is one of Jesus' followers. And so they ask him about it. And the fear, it closes in on Peter. And he does the only thing he can think to do. He lies. No, I don't know that guy. But then they persist. And it seems like they're surrounding him closer and closer, and more people are paying attention. So he lies again. Not me. You've got the wrong guy. And they just keep going. And so he lies a third time, this time his voice even louder and more confident just to get them to stop. I have no idea what you're talking about. The fear is too much. It's amazing, really, that Peter even lasted as long as he did. But he fulfills Jesus' words and denies him three times, and the rooster crows. But that's not really the defining moment here in Luke's gospel. It happens a moment after the rooster. We're told the Lord turns and looks at Peter. And in the look, Peter remembers what Jesus had told him earlier, what he had quickly rejected, that this very night he would deny even knowing his Lord, his Master, his Teacher, his Savior, and his friend, not once, not twice, but three times. Faster than he realized, Peter has done just that. And then in the midst of the crowd, the confusion, and the chaos, Peter and Jesus catch each other's eye. Peter remembers and realizes it. He has done it. He's done exactly what Jesus told him he would do. We know what Peter saw when he and Jesus locked eyes. His sin. His complete and utter failure. It's too much for Peter to handle, so he leaves the scene and he goes and weeps. But what does Jesus see when he turns and looks at Peter? What kind of look was it? A look of judgment and condemnation? I just can't believe that it would be. Sure, Jesus saw the sin when he looked at Peter. But to me, it seems like his look would be one of love and grace and mercy. Perhaps when Jesus locked eyes with Peter, he saw the very reason he was going to death. He saw the sinner in need of forgiveness. He saw the failure in need of redemption. It was those like Peter, the sinners, the ones who start off so strong but are quickly overcome, the deniers that Jesus dies for. When Jesus turned and looked, he saw Peter, but he also saw his purpose. Everything else that's going to happen from here on out, it's all to save people like Peter, people who sin, people who lie, people who just don't care and so do nothing, people who hurt other people who gossip, people who fail, people who deny even knowing Jesus three times. Jesus turns and looks and sees the sin. And in seeing the sin, Jesus is filled with love and with grace. Jesus sees that nobody, not Peter, not you, not me, could save themselves. So Jesus goes through the chaos of this night. Jesus goes to death so that nobody has to save themselves. Jesus sees the sin, and Jesus sees the sinner and the need for salvation. Perhaps Jesus turns and looks at Peter with a mix of sadness for what Peter has done and love for what Jesus is about to do. Jesus looks and wants so badly for Peter to understand that he can be forgiven. Jesus looks and wants so badly for us to understand that we can be forgiven. All of this, it's for Peter, and it's for us. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. That simple sentence, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, it's what draws this story to the journey to Jerusalem. This simple sentence, found only here in the Gospel of Luke, it brings us back to the purpose of Jesus going to the cross. Jesus has been taken prisoner so that people like Peter, so that people like us, can be set free. Jesus is going to death so that people like Peter, so that people like us, can have life. That's what this journey to the cross is about. While we may never understand the full meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection, we know this for sure. Jesus died for us, for each and every one of us, for Peter, for the disciples, for you, for me, for all people. Jesus was taken prisoner and died so that we might be set free for forgiveness. And the look that Jesus gives Peter, it's not difficult to imagine there being a sense of grace and forgiveness in it. Jesus knows that Peter sinned. Jesus knows that he messed up. And he knows that he's journeying to the cross so that Peter can be forgiven. The promise of being set free for forgiveness, it's true for us as well. No matter what we've done in our lives, no matter what we've failed to do, no matter how many times we have failed, Jesus goes to the cross to offer us forgiveness. Jesus, too, looks at us after we have sinned and after we have messed up and sees not our sin, but sees us as beloved children of God. And so he looks at us with grace and compassion so that we might be forgiven. That's one of the promises of Jesus' journey to the cross. Jesus was taken prisoner and died so that we might be set free for restored relationships. And Jesus' look towards Peter, there's more than just forgiveness. There's a desire to reconnect. It's not difficult to imagine Jesus looking at Peter and thinking, "Oh, Peter, even though you have just told this crowd 3 times that you don't know me, I know you. You're my friend, my follower, my beloved, and I want to fix this. I want to make it possible for our relationship to be whole again. And so I'm going to go to the cross." One of the promises of Jesus' journey to the cross is that through the death and resurrection of Christ, it's made possible for broken people and broken relationships to be made whole again. The scene at the end of the Gospel of John where Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loves him, that's made possible by the journey to the cross. And that promise, it's for us as well. Those relationships we have in our life that are broken, those people that we have messed up with, there's hope for restoration there because of the cross. This moment between Peter and Jesus shows us that we have a God who values restoration of relationships. And so Jesus makes it possible not just for our relationship with him to be restored, but for all our relationships to be brought into wholeness. That's one of the promises of the journey to the cross. And Jesus was taken prisoner and died so that we might be set free to follow him. The restoration of the relationship between Peter and Jesus, it also allowed for Peter to return to following Christ. And remember, from the beginning, that's what Peter was trying to do in the first place when he found himself in the courtyard of the high priest's home. And yet, Peter will be willing to follow again, to have the courage to follow, to take the risk. And yet, here's also the thing. Peter's going to mess up again. He's going to fail at following. And even then, because of the cross, Jesus will offer forgiveness and the opportunity to restore relationship and the call to follow all over again. It's a cycle that was true for Peter and is true for all of us. The cross sets us free to follow. And of course, when we follow, we're going to fail. And when we fail, we're offered forgiveness. And when we're forgiven, we can work to restore our relationships. And then we can take the risk to follow again. That's one of the promises of the journey to the cross. Throughout Lent, we have seen Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. In this moment, after Peter denies even knowing him, Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And that look, one that is no doubt full of grace and compassion and understanding, it continues to drive Jesus towards his purpose to the cross. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And in seeing him, and in seeing us, he goes to the cross to offer us forgiveness. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And in seeing him, and in seeing us, he goes to the cross to offer us restoration of relationships. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And in seeing him, and in seeing us, he goes to the cross to offer a call to follow him. So as you journey to the cross with Jesus this week, go knowing that through his death and resurrection, you can receive forgiveness and restoration and the courage to follow. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we are thankful that when you turn your eyes upon us, you see your beloved children. And Lord, we are thankful that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem and towards the cross so that when we fail, just like Peter, we can receive forgiveness, the hope of restoration, and the call to follow you anew. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.